You are listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, your community station. Again, you're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. Your gateway to the weekend has arrived officially on this Friday, which is, in essence, Wednesday evening. This is a pre-recorded program with new programming. For those of you who love Conversation Digest and listen to it each and every week, it's new programming. We are pre-recording this evening because I have some occupational distractions as of Friday evening. So the K-Man, with his eloquence and his good graces, will be playing this Friday night, and it is, in fact, our Halloween special this evening.
Not just special.
Very special. Halloween special. 2010 edition.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Before we go any further, without further ado, as they say, or as I say, without further ado, we cannot do programming without money, because without money, there isn't a station. If there is no station, we cannot do programming. At WNRBLP Wausau, we have sponsors, otherwise known as underwriters, that help contribute financially. I can say that, right, K-Man?
Well, that's how they contribute.
That's how they contribute. So the companies, the businesses that are sponsors of WNRBLP Wausau, not just Conversation Digest, but every other program on the air, Wayne Searing Insurance, All American Taxi. Oh, K-Man.
What'd you do?
Well, I can't get on there.
Yeah, that's what she
said. No, she didn't say that. Come on, hurry up.
I'm hurrying.
This is a program that they're going to be hearing on Friday, K-Man, and you're screwing around with the computer. No, I can't read that. Are you kidding me? Okay. Today's Furniture Mattress Advantage of Stevens Point, Elder Sanctuary, and Hmong Quality Home Care. So this quality programming brought to you by those quality businesses.
Now, the K-Man and I have been doing the program for 3 years now, just after September became 3 years and 1 month. And, of course, we used to have two other people. K-Man, how are you this evening, by the way?
I am doing A-okay, the condition.
Oh, that's scary.
What? Why? Okay?
Because remember the prerequisite statement for this evening. If we want to speak, we have to say everything's scary. Do you remember that conversation?
I'm kind of scared, actually.
You came up with that whole notion.
I'm scared!
Okay, hard-hitting news up in just a bit, the Halloween edition. Also, what we saw on the way to the studio, the Halloween edition, as well as the I don't give a crap moment of the week. That's the every day of my life edition. Two long hours, maybe two and a half of actual new information programming this evening. It's going to be longer. It will be longer than the majority of our programs have been for the last half year. It is, in fact, also a special day today on Wednesday the 27th, which is actually going to be aired on Friday the 30th, the 29th, I should say. It's sweet little Willa Pop's birthday.
Woo, happy birthday, Willa!
She's 4 years old. K-Man, you were there the evening we picked up Willa Pop. Do you remember that?
Yes, we almost died.
It was in December. We got her when she was about 8 weeks old, and the K-Man was there to pick her up. So she's celebrating her fourth birthday this year. And Willa Pop doesn't go by the dog years to human years transition. She doesn't do that.
She's four years old.
So Willa Pop's in the background. If at any time she wants a birthday treat, I will have to
accommodate,
oblige, and leave the room, at which point I will hand the microphone over to the K-Man. I can't begrudge
Willa
Pop.
Well, I have a separate microphone.
Yes, well, K-Man, they don't need to know that.
Well, we're not used to sharing a microphone.
Willa Pop's crying. She wants a birthday treat. You hear her in there? She's
crying.
You
sure she wants birthday treats, or she needs to go outside because she had different food? I'll check that out.
All right. No, what's happening there is she wants to go downstairs. Something's going on with that. So we're at the conditions headquarters this evening for this edition of Conversation Digest. Hard-hitting news up right now. Plus, in just a few moments, the what we saw on the way to the studio weekly feature. And we've had a real windy day in north central Wisconsin. And once again, pre-recorded program. Do not listen to this thinking this is live programming. What did Willa Pop want? What did the birthday girl want?
She's looking at the basement stairs.
K-Man, by the way, for the purpose of the program, you're going to be doing all the adding of the music and such. I'm going to need you to play that birthday video for Willa Pop.
Okay, just say when you're going to do it now, and then I'll just pop it in.
Okay, so for the program, I will need you to post that birthday video for Willa Pop.
You're going to send me the link?
Yeah, I'll do that. Hard-hitting news. Conversation Digest. The Baltimore City Health Department. This is courtesy of WBALTV.com.
Baltimore?
And this is scary. This is scary.
Ooh.
We've got the trans fat police out there citing people for making food that maybe it tastes great, but hey, it's not good for you.
Hmm.
The Baltimore City Health Department issued its first environmental citation. Willa Pop's going ballistic in there. Knock it off, Willa Pop! She's the birthday girl, so I guess she can get away with that. The Baltimore City Health Department issued its first environmental citation for repeat violations of the city's trans fat ban. This is from 2009, but you know what? I thought that I would bring it up because even a year later, it's still scary news. Back in 2009, we do try to revisit some old stories.
Well, it is scary.
Yeah, we're trying to revisit some old stories, so I'll just do this tonight. Back in 2009, the Baltimore City Health Department issued the city's trans fat ban. The health department issued Healthy Choice, which is a food facility in the 400 block of Lexington Street, a $100 fine on Thursday. I will reiterate the location, the 400 block of Lexington Street. Do you think they spend a lot of money on their 400 block, K-Man?
Well, it depends on what they have at the 400 block as opposed to the one that's in Wausau right now that is in a shambles.
It could be a Shangri-La, and they would still want to spend $1 million.
Well, they need to put up a giant fence, so that's about
it. And an interactive fountain and waste a lot of money. It was the second time they were found with a high trans fat level in their ingredients, said Health Department Agent Juan Gutierrez. Officials said that during inspections in July and this month, which was in December, or I should say of 2009, and that was in July of 2009. The facility was found to be using a margarine product with trans fat levels in excess of what the law allows. The law banning food facilities from serving or selling non-packaged food items containing 0.5 grams or more of trans fat back in September 2009. Well, we are pleased with the high rates of compliance we've seen since the ban took effect. We will continue to sanction businesses that repeatedly fail to comply. Dr. Oxyris Barbet, Commissioner of Health. This should be the I don't give a crap moment of the week, but in this situation, I do care. If food places, establishments that want to sell good food, want to sell food with trans fat, by all means, you should do so. Am I right, K-Man?
Well, trans fats aren't very healthy for you and make you dead faster.
What do I care? Those brats you cooked this evening, do you think that those are healthy for you? You soaked them in beer. We don't need the government telling us what we can and can't eat, K-Man.
Well, I guess if you want to kill yourself, that's cool.
Oh, you eat fast food all the time.
Nah.
You think the government should have?
As much as I want.
Do you believe that the government should have, whether it's at a state or local level or even federal or whichever, that they should have the right to say you can't use trans fat?
Well, they already have the right to say you can't smoke here.
Well, they shouldn't be, and you know my argument all along there too.
Yeah.
That they shouldn't be able to control that. The majority of politicians are fat and disgusting anyway. No offense.
Aren't they wiping themselves with a rag from all the sweat? all the time?
Ted Kennedy was.
What? His nose is a little bit red as well.
Boris Yeltsin, who liked to try to run Russia with an iron fist, I mean, he was a raging alcoholic. These leaders are always hypocritical. And they're going to have a prohibition on trans fat. This was back in 2009, which was scary. We'll get back to this and much, much more in just a few moments. Right now on Conversation Digest, each and every week at 12 after the hour, what we saw on the way to the studio.
Not the Taj Mahal. It's not something that even matters. It's just what we saw on the way to the studio.
Each and every week, 12 after the hour, Conversation Digest, our very own feature, what we saw on the way to the studio, came in even though we're actually in the Conditions headquarters. What did you see on the way to the studio, which is actually my headquarters, this evening?
I found myself beating you to your house.
Okay,
well, cutting off cars and driving really fast, safer than usual.
We met elsewhere beforehand, and then we drove over here first. The K-Man beat me over here, and of course he did not... See, I abided by the speed limit. K-Man went 45 on Grand Avenue.
Hey, I do what I have to, and I was trying to scare people in accordance with Halloween.
Okay, so and then what I saw on the way to the studio, which in this situation this evening is actually the headquarters of the condition on the
it's
condition.
It's a lair.
That's your.
Oh, this is
that's
the...
your place. So,
you sure.
What I saw this morning was a gentleman in Wausau, or actually Rothschild, the hat blew off his head. Initially, well, my response was if it was my hat, I'd say forget it because that. Hat flew about 50 feet, I'm serious, and the hat continued to roll away from him further and further, and it was a very windy day.
Is this like an Abbott and Costello sketch or something?
He wasn't that funny, but I was rooting for the guy. So when this happened, of course, today's Wednesday, this show will be aired on Friday. It was a very windy day today, Wednesday, and it was a very windy day yesterday, Tuesday. Friday, I think the winds will have subsided by then. But so the hat flew off the gentleman's head, and I thought he's going to give up on it because, well, pop, quiet down in there. I know you're the birthday girl, but seriously. I thought he would give up on the hat because the hat flew. It just flew. It was a skull cap. It was
skull cap.
Woven or yarn, I don't know which. And I thought, how in the world does a hat like that fall off? There's no sail. There's no
rim. Well, it's not like Fixident where you have the teeth, and it's just on there by gravity alone.
It shouldn't have been able to fall off like that.
Well, it was really windy.
No, it was a flat hat. It was like a skull cap. It wasn't as
elastic as it wanted to be.
Well, normally speaking, K-Man, no offense. I don't think you know too much about winter hats.
Yeah, I do.
By all means, you don't, because you're wearing shorts today, and it's about 40 degrees outside.
I wasn't betting on staying outside very long.
This hat should not have been able to just fly off his head. So, but it went over by a mass transit bus, and of course, if this gentleman is an avid fan of Conversation Digest, he will at this point, upon hearing this part of what we saw on the way to the studio, potty his pants because he cannot believe that we're part of this. He's part of this conversation. He cannot believe it. If he's a listener of Conversation Digest and other random shows on WNRBLP Wausau,
I'm a fan of every show on WNRBLP.
Same here, but. He did get the hat back, and he put it on his head. Hopefully, he held on to it. But like I said, I thought initially he wasn't going to go after it. I think what he wanted to say to humanity that was viewing the situation, in this case it was me, I think he wanted us to believe he just didn't give a rat's rear end about the hat. So when he ran over to the mass transit bus, the hat had landed behind it. I thought, ooh. Good thing the mass transit bus didn't throw itself into reverse.
How often do they throw themselves in the reverse? Not very often.
Didn't happen. Well, to be honest with you, K-Man, the mass transit buses never throw themselves into reverse.
They just drive through
it? The person driving them throws them into reverse.
Oh, potato.
So that's what
potato.
We saw on the way to the studio, whether it was K-Man breaking the law by speeding on Grand Avenue or otherwise me seeing a man lose his hat and then subsequently find it later on. That was what we saw on the way to the studio 12 after the hour each and every Friday on Conversation Digest. It's been a great day today. Willa Pop's birthday, we're celebrating that this evening. Also,
good evening.
As mentioned earlier, it's our third annual Halloween special.
Spectacular.
And this is your verbal extravaganza, as well as your gateway to the weekend, and also Party Central throughout the evening. Listen up.
Isn't there one
for more?
More
Halloween music, Halloween bits, and lists of the best places in Los Angeles to trick-or-treat that coming up in the bottom of the first hour or the top of the second hour. What, K-Man?
Don't we have another tagline, or am I just imagining?
We've got three of them so far.
Party Central, Verbal Extravaganza, and...
Gateway to the Weekend.
I thought there was one more.
I don't think so. Not yet. If there's
Maybe
any
I'm
other...
just crazy.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the case, K-Man. But back to this situation with the trans fat. Do you believe that the government should say, you're too fat, I'm too fat, let's get rid of trans fat, and cite companies and businesses for using trans fat, and then saying, look, if this business, if this place, which calls itself Healthy Choice, which it, if for no other reason than it's hypocritical, should they not use trans fat?
Yeah, that's a little misleading, calling it Healthy Choice, and it's not happened to be too healthy.
I think that's the worst thing they did. I don't care that they use trans fat. If someone wants to use trans fat in a restaurant, as long as they're being forthright...
Truth in advertising, isn't
that? And that is the issue with the nutritional label. Isn't the nutritional label there to say, this is what's in this product?
Yes.
As far as it says, honestly, and in print, that this has trans fat, if someone can choose... If Choicy Moms can choose Jif...
Choicy Moms?
Is it Choosy? Whichever... A person can look at the label and choose at that point if it has trans fat. If they do not want to eat that product, they don't have to eat that product.
But at least knowing whether it's in there or not would be nice.
And I would say also, in addition to that notion, as of course we mentioned a few moments ago, a restaurant that uses trans fat probably shouldn't call itself Healthy Choice. However, that is their choice to call themselves
Healthy Choice.
Healthy Choice. I would call myself like a Potbelly Pig if I was a restaurant that use trans fat and other unhealthy ingredients, or otherwise Gluttonous Are Us. Would you call yourself that as a restaurant? I would. Remember when you and I were thinking about starting a bar in the area? We would just call it Loser's Pub or the Vomit Trough.
Wait, wasn't another one Restaurants Pub? And it has nothing to do with restaurants?
Nothing to do with food. People like creative names. So if you're going to serve unhealthy food, be honest about what you're doing. People will go to a restaurant that's called Heart Attack Waiting to Happen. I would go to a restaurant called that, wouldn't you, K-Man?
Yeah, sadly enough.
Okay, also another reintroduction, a revisitation of the Conditions karaoke moment of the week.
Woo!
Coming up later on towards the bottom of the hour. I've got another karaoke moment of the week that's in the second hour. And what we're doing this week, K-Man, is we're playing karaoke songs that I have at one point or another sang in karaoke for Halloween. And those songs will be introduced later on. We don't play a lot of music on this program, but when we do, it's hard-hitting, entertaining, and it will get your emotions going.
If you have emotions.
Most of our listeners have one emotion. It's called anger. Because they are in the deep, dark pockets of society. And I've met some of our listeners. God bless them. You just don't want to make them mad. What hard-hitting news coming up next hour. That's all we have for this first hour. And right now, the most influential man in America, who would you say it is, K-Man? Don't even look at the computer screen.
Jon Stewart?
Yeah, you already saw this.
I knew this from before.
This is ridiculous. Jon Stewart tops list of influential man. LeBron James and Maya Angelou. What is she? I mean, she might have a mustache, but Maya Angelou is not a man.
Hey-o!
Jon Stewart tops a list of influential men. I'm reading the opening of this article. LeBron James tweets about loss. Maya Angelou papers acquired. Okay, apparently, they're saying three different things in this. So the first part is Jon Stewart. This is courtesy of the Wall Street Journal, one of the only newspapers that I frequently read. Is Jon Stewart the most influential man in the world? Not just America, K-Man. Not just America. In a poll conducted by AskMen.com, the Daily Show host took the number one spot, 20 slots ahead of President Barack Obama. The site said that more than 500,000 Ask Men readers voted along with a staff of Ask Men, to determine the top 49 most influential men of 2010.
This is only according to Ask Men magazine?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
Of course, we all know that many web-based polls aren't worthy the paper they're not printed on. Routinely, such surveys are won by the likes of The Situation, or B.O.B., or the cast of Two and a Half Men, or whoever happens to be all the...
Or The Condition?
...specific second poll is taken. The Condition takes no part in such polls.
Well, it doesn't mean... If you don't take a part of it, it doesn't mean someone's jamming you in there to begin with.
Where are we at with this conversation? I don't even know what's going on. Willapop!
You can be put into...
K-Man, she wants a birthday tree. You're just looking at Facebook anyway.
She wants to go in the basement.
No basement for you.
That's... She's going crazy clawing
at
the
basement.
I know
she's doing. So, okay. So, John Stewart, so far as I can tell, entertaining, comedic, people like his show, he's funny. How is he influential? If I want to be a satirical newscaster, by which I mean one that cracks more jokes than gives actual information, sure, Jon Stewart's a very influential man. He's very successful. He's funny, if you like that kind of liberal drab. If you like that kind of stuff, because K-Man, no offense, he is very liberal. Would you admit it?
Sure, why not?
Because the K-Man's liberal, too. In fact, he's dressing up as a conservative, because on Halloween, we like to dress up as something we're not.
Really? Didn't a couple years ago I went as a psychopath?
No, that was the only year you dressed as sold.
I had a head that was wrapped in saran wrap.
That was Leah, by the
way.
Well,
she let me dress up like that.
Okay, so the site said that more than 500,000 Ask Men readers, which I don't buy that, by the way. I want to see numbers. Let's see if this, could this possibly be true?
Someone
half a million people on AskMenReaders.com.
Someone was probably stuffing those ballots.
AskMen.com. Okay, so the top 49 influential men of 2010. Of course, we all know that many web-based polls aren't worthy.
Why don't
worthy.
They just
we
ask Mad
this.
Magazine?
That said, Stewart is a role lately. Is on a roll lately. He's leading a rally to restore sanity this Halloween weekend in Washington, D.C., also making the news poll. The new poll, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, Steve Jobs, and Kanye West, Ask Men wrote, these are the men history will remember as having defined 2010. More importantly, the men who inspire the rest of us become better men. Do you think Jon Stewart deserved to top the list? Leave your thoughts in the comments, they said on forAskMen.com.
You gonna read some comments?
And of course, this is the most influential man in the world. This is chalked up. This is categorized in the featured We Don't Give a Crap or I Don't Give a Crap moment of the week. I don't care about this. The only reason I'm actually reading this, K-Man, is to say to you where it is that we're at as men as far as assigning most influential men is concerned. Is Jon Stewart all that influential?
He can be.
I'm not trying to besmirch his name as an entertainer.
I believe that it could be somewhat true.
You think he's more influential than Barack Obama?
Probably not, but
not
I guess
at all.
That's what the people who read or stuff the
AskMen.com?
Yeah, that's what they said, at least.
What kind of men are they asking these questions? On AskUneducatedMen.com?
Slobs that are sitting in front of the computer?
K-Man,
sorry, that's...
This isn't exactly a time for you to try to rip on yourself.
Oh, I don't care. I'm speaking the truth.
As much as I dislike Barack Hussein Obama, he is very influential. He's got a huge... people can say that they can wail on about the New World Order, and I truly believe it does exist, but Barack Obama does, in fact, have the most influence in America so far as this list is concerned. He was on there, and he was 20 spots behind Jon Stewart. I don't have the entire listing before me, but Kanye West was in there, K-Man. Kanye West.
Kanye.
Brett Favre is more influential in this past year than Kanye West. Do you understand why that would be?
Is that because he was on with his phone making picture mails?
That's part of it. It's all part of a large scene where Brett Favre captivates the media, where he captivates fans all across America, and he holds captive a huge business that is the NFL. He is bigger than the NFL because of what they have done for him, and what they have done for him is say, Brett, we will cater to your needs and wants. And he does possibly send pictures of himself to a female that is quite attractive, by the way. So that makes him more influential than Kanye West. What's Kanye West done that's so influential, K-Man?
apparently he's pretty popular with the kids and the music and the popping and the locking.
Well, then Justin Bieber is more influential than
I guess
Kanye
more,
West.
More people hate Justin Bieber than Kanye West, I'm assuming.
They hate Justin Bieber more than they hate Kanye West?
I believe so.
I think that whole berating Taylor Swift had a lot of impact on Kanye West's popularity.
I guess what is the definition of influential? I guess that's what it
well,
really
let's
boils
generate
down to.
A definition. I would say that Matt Stone and Trey Parker have more influence than Jon Stewart. Maybe that's a bit outlandish, but one of the cartoons, one of the shows that people pay attention to for satire and for comedy and for information on who we should make fun of next, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the creators of South Park. And we are going to take a break here up in just a few moments. The I Don't Give a Crap Moment of the Week, installment number 2 on Conversation Digest. And also, don't forget about the Conditions Karaoke Moment of the Week, Halloween theme.
Influence, causing something without any direct or apparent effort. And there's a bunch of other...
K-Man, can I have you talking to the microphone,
well,
please?
Well, it's getting... Have an exert influence or effect. A cognitive factor that tends to have an effect on what you do.
All right, well, who's that courtesy of? Dictionary.com?
A whole bunch of different dictionaries.
Okay, we'll accept that then as the definition. Without little effort? I wouldn't agree with that. Because anybody that you're going to have on that list has done so by putting forth
well,
an enormous
effort. Well,
they probably
had put effort before that, but just now, just
okay.
Having to have something go through without any effort. It's very influential.
All right, probably more on the influential man of the year according to AskMen.com website I will never go to, FYI. All that and much, much more in just a bit. Conversation Digest on this Halloween extravaganza. WNRB LP Wausau 93.3 FM.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you listening there. I was just sitting here reading my book, enjoying the fruits of this world, and I thought, why not spread my love of the finer things with you, the common folk? I am Sir Henry Milton Hannington, at your service. I know of such great items and activities you could do to get the most out of your life. So I wrote a book entitled The Finer Things. Let me read you an excerpt. And then Victoria told me, Sir Henry, why take the cow outside when you can get your servants to do that for you? Brilliant! Such brilliance, beauty, and brains, I thought. But no sooner had I finished that thought than that she had let out the greatest, earth-trembling release of gas a human could ever let go. The look of disbelief on my face and the look of embarrassment on hers. Oh, goodness gracious, who let the canine in here? She said, much to my astonishment. Having looked around, I noticed no canine of any breed in the room. It was me and this ghastly woman. No, Lady Victoria, I said calmly, it is you who let the dogs out. I promptly left the room and ate the most delicious cucumber sandwich ever made, while I sat on my chair made of baby seals. Ah, yes, my favorite passage. I can triumph in even the most adverse of situations. I implore you, if you wish to have somewhat the same amount of civility as me, then buy my book, The Finer Things, by Sir Henry Milton Hannington.
In a world as vast as the eye can see, one lone survivor makes his way from the terrifying mountain. Dying and weak, his people have been captured and enslaved. It will take one person, with the will and strength of a million men, to rise up. Here on in lays the tale of Tinyville, escape from Molehill Mountain. This is the story of strength, anger, rage, sadness, love, and power. Will our hero get across the vast plains of what is known as Backyard? Will he make it past the desert of Sidewalk? Does he dare climb the side of Molehill Mountain and take on the ravenous, deranged, mutated mole people? From the third assistant director's brother of Star Wars comes a tale of heroes, villains, and princesses. Starring Clem Hooftoe as Ben the Strong, Jim McHardfoot as Larry, Charlton Heston as himself, and introducing Tina Flepcart as the princess. Join them as they venture. Will you dare?
And we're back. WNRB LP Wausau 93.3 FM. Conversation Digest on this Halloween special. Boo!
Ooh, I'm scared.
I'm scared as well. We have a plethora of music that's related to Halloween, scary features, as well as the K-Man's scary antics and my scary antics. Willa Pop's birthday is today. In case I leave, it means I'm getting her a birthday treat. Because she loves birthday treats and treats every other day of the year. I feel bad I didn't get her a gift yet. She's out of the room, so I can say that. But what I did was I got her some special doggy food and mixed it in with her typical doggy food.
She inhaled that.
If you're a dog or cat lover, you know that you can't mess around with their stomachs. Very sensitive stomachs. So what you have to do is you have to make their diets consistent, not switch them up all the time. I had someone tell me the other day that he switches his dog's diet up all the time. At which point I said, what is he doing? I couldn't do that to sweet little Willa
Pop.
Wow,
that would cause
He's a nice guy. Just don't do
disasters.
It would. So Willa Pop, she's got a very healthy dietary setup and a very healthy digestive system, so far as I can tell. And we don't have issues on the floor at all with either type of mess, so to speak. So Halloween special, Willa Pop's birthday. My birthday is tomorrow, as well as my brother's. As we were born on the same day in the same year. The K-Man's birthday is on October 30th.
Woo! Get scared, yo!
And then, of course, we have Halloween on the 31st. So it's an epic Halloween party week.
Extravaganza.
And we've got my karaoke moment coming up in just a few moments here on Conversation Digest. We were talking about the Trans Fat Police, Baltimore 2009, going after a restaurant called The Healthy Choice. They find them and they said, look, if a place will not pay the citation, we will put them out of business. Hard-hitting news? Yes. Yes, it was. So then the influential man of the world, this isn't just America, FYI, K-Man. This is the most influential man in the world. Jon Stewart was listed as the most influential man by some supposed 500,000 people on AskMen.com. I don't support the notion
500,000
that 500,000
500,000 votes then.
K-Man, the site said that more than 500,000. It said readers, K-Man.
Well, that's.
It says that more than 500,000 AskMen readers voted, along with the staff of AskMen, to determine the top 49 most influential men of 2010. If you have 500,000 voters that are actually readers of the website, why would you need the staff of whether it's 150 people came in or whether it's 500 people or 50 people? How did that few staff members make any sort of difference in a poll which is generated through 500,000 voters? It doesn't make any sense, K-Man.
Well, it's just assuming that they let it have a person vote more than once.
No, it says readers. The way I'm reading it, the site said that more than 500,000 AskMen readers. That's a bunch of horse hockey, and I don't know why this is on the street Wall Street Journal. I heard another disc jockey. I'm not a DJ. I don't play one on the radio, and I'm a talk show host, right, K-Man?
And you don't play one on TV.
And I've done DJing, and I will do DJing again if, in fact, that opportunity arose. But the K-Man is also a disc jockey as well as a talk show host. Co-host.
Oh yeah, I have a different
so
show.
So don't forget about his Halloween special.
Oh, it's not going to really be Halloween special.
Okay, well, the K-Man has. Don't forget to listen this evening after Conversation Digest, the Halloween special. The K-Man has his very own program called the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion. Plays a lot of music that you probably won't hear anywhere else.
Maybe.
Of course, he doesn't make the claim that it's that good of a show, but it's getting better. It's quite entertaining, K-Man. For the most part.
We're on our sixth week, or seventh week coming up this Friday.
Have you been cross-promoting Conversation Digest like you should
I haven't.
I'm going to get the Trans Fat Police after you. The trans fat.
Well, I'll do better this week then.
Okay.
Actually, I haven't been promoting any other show. I'm not just excluding us for fun.
Okay. All right. Also, the I don't give a crap moment of the week, that was the influential man I really didn't care about in the first place, but I sure went on about it. Second installment of the I don't give a crap moment of the week, portion two, installment two of the first hour of Conversation Digest on this evening. We are pre-recorded. This is actually Tuesday evening. We're pre-recording this evening.
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday, and it will play on Friday. So if, in fact, you're listening right now and it's Friday, this is pre-recorded information, yet it is new. So if you would like to communicate with the group that you listen to the show with on a Friday evening because you love the show, and, of course, we're the gateway to the weekend, by all means, this is new information. This is new conversation. State Digest. Funds, local bike projects. I like to ride my bicycle. I like to ride my bike. Conversation Digest, we don't give a crap moment of the week, courtesy of the WASADailyHerald.com. Lincoln and Marathon counties will receive nearly $2.7 million in state transportation money for bicycle and pedestrian projects, Governor Jim Doyle announced today. That guy could certainly use a bike ride. Have you seen him lately?
He's big.
He needs Rogaine with minoxidil as well as a bike that he can lose some poundage off of. Why is it that Governor Doyle, who is no longer going to be Governor Doyle shortly, thankfully, he likes to spend money? Have you noticed this about this man? He does it like a lot of other politicians. On this show, we do not and will not endorse, condemn, or condone particular candidates. I never have really truly done it, but I will say I cannot stand a politician that wants to do nothing else but spend money. And of course, they want to spend $2.7 million on bicycle and pedestrian projects. The projects include funding for the construction of paths in Tomahawk, Weston, Rib Mountain, Mosinee, Marathon, and Cronenwetter, and the money is to help develop a bicycle and pedestrian plan for Lincoln County. It's part of $32.5 million dispersed by the State Department of Transportation for 56 projects across Wisconsin. And the money comes from the Transportation Enhancement and Bicycle Pedestrian Facilities Program Fund. The announcement comes as great news for cyclists, runners, and walkers across north central Wisconsin. So he's going for the hippies, the health nuts, and the people that just don't know how to... whatever. I'm very excited about it because we're talking quality of life here, said Helen Pagenkopf, 69, of Wausau, an avid cyclist and president of the Friends of the Mountain Bay Trail. Well, with all due respect, Helen, you know, you've had a long life.
How old is she?
And how much money did it take? She's almost 70. But she's the president that we need to get her on the show, probably. I agree with her that this is, in fact, an era, an age where we want to be healthy, right, for the most part?
Well, we'll at least try to be.
So,
a little bit of being scared.
If you don't want to be unhealthy, maybe don't eat trans fat. Don't drink alcohol in huge quantities every day. Don't smoke. Ride your own bicycle on a trail that has already been blazed. Or get an immobile bike, one that does not move.
I stationary.
Said immobile, a stationary bike. Why do we have to rely on state funds, which were generated through taxation, tax revenue generated by the taxpayer from the state level? And really, when we talk about stimulus packages came in, we've talked about this endlessly before. It's not money that was printed without reaction or without a response. And the response is me getting angry and getting a really high blood pressure situation going on. There's better ways to lose weight and not get morbidly obese than to spend $32.5 million for 56 projects across Wisconsin. What do we need to do right now, K-Man, as far as money is concerned in Wisconsin and beyond? Spending by the government, whether it's state level or national level, federal, state governments, what do we need to do as far as spending is concerned? Do you know what we need to do, K-Man?
Stop shoving money down the toilet by useless things like the 400 block?
Right. We need to put a freeze on it. Well, that wasn't state tax dollars. What that was money generated through foundation money. It was donations and charitable foundation money. But it's still a waste.
That money could have gone for something else.
And all we ever do is we plow the trees down and we make more bike trails. How many bike trails do we need? I don't have a heck of a lot to say on this, but I think there are more adequate ways of spending money. You put a spending freeze on this type of project in Wisconsin right now. Well, it helps with the tourist industry. No. Well, it raises the property value of a place. Governor Jim Doyle, stop spending money. And all of the other politicians, stop spending money. Here I am getting angry about spending money on this Halloween special. We were going to dedicate the evening to Halloween festivities, weren't we, K-Man?
Halloween, get scared! Give me candy.
Bubblegum and taffy. Can we get that in there, please, for the Halloween special? I would like that in there as well.
I'm thinking if there's swears in there or not.
Oh, well, if there are swear words, you cannot use it. But if there are, then otherwise, just put the phrase, I want candy, bubblegum, and taffy. There's a cartoon show where that's
a lie. I don't think there's swears in it. I think we can get away with it.
All right, we can possibly do that. And of course, sporadically place and periodically place Halloween music and sound effects. Can we get that one just for the ambience of doing the program right now? Could we please get the sound effects going? Because I need that ambience right now.
It's going to sound like crap.
That's fine. In the background? I thought you said that we could just have that running throughout.
Well, I'm going to be playing it once I...
I have no idea who's here. Someone's here for Willa Pop's birthday, apparently. I have no idea who
Maybe
this is.
Maybe it could be...
Phil? I don't know. So here are other things that we're spending money on. Local bike and pedestrian projects. Tomahawk is spending $592,545 for construction of the final phase of Tomahawk Trails, a system of pathways connecting to the state's Hiawatha Trail. Total cost of $740,681. Lincoln County, $40,000. K-Man, this is your neck of the woods.
It is Bauman.
Mikhail Bomanovsky!
Woo! Bauman! Happy Halloween! Will Pop's birthday! Verbal Extravaganza! Gateway to the Weekend! Coming up at
Party
you!
Party Central! Woo!
Bowman's here! Of course, Bowman used to be one of a four-headed monster on Conversation Digest. He left, and now we're in good graces with him, as he is with us. The fourth member, well, he's... I don't even know if he's alive anymore. So, Marathon County, Weston, $546,000 to create a trail connecting a pedestrian bridge crossing Highway 29, scheduled to be built next summer with separate funds to a nearby trail system. Total cost $683,000. If this is all that Governor Doyle wanted to waste a lot of money on, it wouldn't be that huge of a hair raiser. It wouldn't up my dander so much. But
dander?
What happened was Doyle, Governor Bald Stooge Doyle, decided to spend all of the other money in the world on this fast rail system with trains that were built in Spain. They're not even American-made trains. No, I don't mind import products.
Are mainly wasted.
The money spent on the trains was mainly spent and wasted in Wisconsin plains. That was awful.
It still works out, though.
Yeah, it did.
But you're welcome.
It's just a whole vicious cycle of spending money, throwing money in the garbage, for lack of a better way of explaining it. You sit down the toilet, and I guess... that money could be saved, K-Man.
Toilet money?
Yes, because someone could salvage it from the sewer. More permanent...
What would they want with that from me?
Hey, if millions of dollars are actually being flushed on the toilet, it might be worth your while to submerge yourself in the waste in a protective suit.
You want me
collect
to
the money and use it
waste.
To live, not yours, everyone else's as well.
Well, you're talking about my toilet business.
Well, you can get it.
I don't want to spend it.
Okay, because that's not necessarily a permanent getting rid of situation. So, what we saw on the way to the studio again next hour. Don't forget, we're going to have to do another one. Maybe Mikhail Bomanovsky, who has made a surprise appearance, could possibly do his what he saw on the way to the studio, which is in fact the conditions headquarters this evening. Halloween special. I think why don't we go to the conditions karaoke moment of the week, and it's a surprise what it is this week. This has actually been done before, on past conditions, karaoke moments of the week. And what this is going to be this evening is, in fact, Ray Parker Jr., if I'm not mistaken, that's who this artist is, and the theme song from a lot of people's favorite movies, one of my favorite movies, I saw when I was 5 years old, and the library scene scared the heck out of me. It's the Ghostbusters theme song. Who are you going to call, besides Conversation Digest, the Ghostbusters, WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. That was the Conditions Karaoke Moment of the Week Halloween Special on Conversation Digest. And it's about 45 after the hour. Heading to the top of the hour in this Verbal Extravaganza version of the Halloween Special that we do every single year. The K-Man said he didn't think we did last year's special.
If we didn't,
it must have been because I worked. And this is the Halloween Special. We'd like to do Halloween's and Christmases and Thanksgivings. We will be doing
whatever holiday it is, really.
We will be doing a Thanksgiving special this year, K-Man. Just so you know, we'll talk about getting stuffed.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
And all the other things, holiday traditions. We like to. I'm a huge holiday man. I'm big on the holidays, big on family. I'm big on traditional values and perspectives. And that was the karaoke moment of the week. Conversation Digest. Bowman is in the house. And, of
popping
course, the K-Man is here. We're at the Conditions headquarters. It's sweet little Willa Pop's birthday. And the K-Man's turning 31 this week, as well as the Condition, which is me. And the Condition's brother, he is going to be 31 as well. Willa Pop is 4. We got hard-hitting news coming up at the top of next hour. And also what we saw on the way to the studio, installment number 2, hour number 2. That would be installment number 3,
by
the
way.
We
have a ways to go for that yet.
Back to the bike trails. Do we need more bike trails? If we're such a morbidly obese society, how many people are actually using bicycles anymore anyway?
The same people that always use them. They want different
scenery,
I guess.
Didn't they trailblaze enough?
Didn't
they blaze enough trails? Didn't they make enough trails as it is? How many trails do we need? This is $2.7 million in straight transportation money for these bicycle and pedestrian projects. We have sidewalks all over the place. I should know I have to mow the grass on the other side of it between the sidewalk and the street. And this is the part of the show, K-Man, where people start calling me mean and vicious and angry.
Old man condition.
The reason, yeah, they called me old man condition.
Like
email Mary.
I can't sit like that.
This is from last week.
And I have to turn off this.
Hey, condition and K-Man. Thanks a lot for yet another rerun. Mary, every single week. I'm going to handle this one, K-Man. I'm going to handle this one. Every single week, Mary emails us and says something that's either mildly nice or completely mean and vicious and vindictive. She claims she's an avid listener, which I believe she is because she always knows. And I love listeners, and I love listeners that listen to our program in particular.
Or you just live.
I love when they listen to WNRBLP, but I love them even more if I know for a fact which shows they're listening to because they're giving us active feedback. I love active feedback because not only does it help you, not only does it help me, but it helps us as a show, Conversation Digest. But Mary, this week you're going overboard because you don't know the facts. And the facts in this situation, Mary, the show last week was not a rerun. It was, in fact, new information. It was new programming. It was a show that was pre-recorded. And if you are going to type us emails, Mary, God bless you. I prefer that you are accurate with what you are saying. Now, if you want to get your own program, we would love to have you. It could be called Mary's Hour of Mary Merriment or some nonsense like that. You could talk about flowers and flowers and cute little animals and this and that. It could be Mary's Pansy Hour. And then we can talk to you, Mary, when it is you have a pre-recorded program and email you and lie to the masses and say that it was a rerun when it wasn't. Do you realize, K-Man, when The Office plays a new episode, right?
Yes.
That's not live, is it?
No.
It's pre-recorded, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if Email Mary says to the producers and the executives of NBC who are in direct association with The Office, and she emails them and says, "Dear Steve Carell, thanks for the rerun, but it was a new episode," does she call it a rerun just because it was pre-recorded? I guess there's an exception to this because people expect radio
really
to be
live.
But radio is, people have higher expectations for radio, I think, because they do want it to be live. But in today's fast-paced, consumer-oriented society, I have a very, yes, it is oriented. It's oriented, by the way. Check it out.
Okay.
It's very tough with my work schedule to do live programs. And I feel bad because Dr. Rent does his, you know Dr. Rent, he has a show on Thursday evenings from 5 to 6 p.m. He calls it the Dr. Rent Show, where he talks everything Rent. He's a wonderful man. Dr. Rent started making these weekly contributions, and the feature is called Dr. Rent's Current Events. It's becoming a fast-paced, well-loved, and well-perceived, as far as educational is concerned, feature. Now, he started doing this where he'd give us questions every single week, and I feel bad because I have not been on there live a lot lately because my work schedule came in. You can testify to this.
No, it's understandable because we had to do
it's a schedule. I work when I have to work, don't I? I'm a very dedicated employee. We don't get into specifics. Where I work doesn't matter. Now, Michael Bowman is in the house eating his popcorn and waving his meat grabbers at sweet little Willow Pop, who is in fact experiencing a birthday. Michael Bowman, would you please share a birthday popcorn treat with sweet little Willow Pop?
She already took a couple off before.
Oh, she already got some. Okay. That's excellent. So we're having a Halloween special this evening. K-Man, where are we at with the time here for the first hour?
1 second. We're at 44.
Let's take a quick Halloween fake commercial break. We'll be back in just a bit, just a few moments here to wrap up the first hour of the Halloween special on Conversation Digest, the Gay Wage of the Weekend, Verbal Extravaganza, as well as your party central for each and every holiday.
Big hit station.
In this case, that's the other one. Your big hit station.
I knew I was, right.
But that's more towards the station, actually, well, not the show. So all that and much, much more on your favorite community station. Wausau is your station. It's your radio, WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM.
And adorable.
Pausing, or?
You're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. Your verbal extravaganza conversation digest has hit the airwaves again. We're actually in the first hour of a two-hour Halloween extravaganza special. Michael Bowman has just arrived just a few short moments ago. The K-Man is here as well as me, the condition, and we've got a lot of Halloween features coming up, including the best places to trick-or-treat in Los Angeles.
Oh, helpful for our listeners.
If they take a plane ride out to California, then they may be able to use that, but I never promised that this would be information that you really give a rat's rear end about. And that also leads up to the next part of the show, which I have actually lost.
You lost it?
Well, where's my email at? Well, I know one of the things I was going on and on and on about was from email Mary, where she explained that she was disappointed with last week's program being a rerun. And I had to say, look, Mary, it wasn't a rerun. It was pre-recorded, which is completely different than a rerun. Whenever we say it's a best-of episode, that means it is a rerun. So if you hear the K-Man go on the Friday nights, he's the one that keeps this going because he does not work Friday nights or any other. That's okay. But what he's good enough to get in there and make sure that the show still happens. Without the K-Man, the show could not happen. Don't get a big ego here, K-Man. It's the hard fact. It's the truth of the matter. I can't always be in there, and even if I'm not, if we know ahead of time I'm not going to be in there, what the K-Man and I do is meet up earlier in the week, pre-record the program, which means we provide new programming, Mary, and it will play on a Friday evening. Otherwise, what happens is if I can't do a pre-record earlier in the week, we run what's called a best-of episode, which means it is a rerun. But even though it's a rerun, it's still better than what a lot of people offer on stations across the area that I will not name. In addition, there are a lot of other quality programs on WNRBLP Wausau, like Michael Bowman's. What we saw.
What's left on the table.
Yeah, what we saw on the table.
With name source Biff Mendelsohn.
The question I have to ask myself, I beg to ask myself, would I be saying this if he wasn't in here where he could hear me compliment his program?
I think he would.
So, also have the Retro Underground.
Well, I'm not sure. The name is different now.
Oh, really? Martial Law. On Wednesday evenings, at what time, K-Man?
8 to 11.
Okay, now he used to be on 10 to midnight on Friday evenings, directly after the verbal extravaganza that is Conversation Digest. But now, okay, so it's not called the Retro Underground?
I don't know what it's called anymore.
Okay, he used to have a show called The Underground whereby he played non-signed and indie bands, and then he actually segued or transitioned into a show that was a throwback. It was an 80s rock show is what it is, right? Now, is he doing that any longer? I haven't spoken with him in a while.
I don't know what the name is anymore.
Okay, well, Martial Law, I apologize if I misspoke. Maybe it was never called the Retro Underground. I do not know.
It was called Retro 80s.
Retro 80s, I apologize. Okay. Also have the mix with Kenneth McVeigh and a lot of other programs throughout the week. Where's the schedule at? I can read the schedule.
I don't know. I don't know where you put it.
It's right here, K-Man.
Well, how am I supposed to know you put it there earlier?
You need to be on the...
I
knowledgeable.
More different things.
Okay, so we...
Another popcorn?
apparently he is having another popcorn. So on Mondays, we've got a Better Country with Michael Miret, 9 a.m. to 9:30.
Is this all updated?
It's new enough. We've also got Boogies and Blues. We've got the Doctor of Blues, Blues Doctor, I should say, on Wednesday at 7 p.m. until 10 p.m. We've got a show that some may or may not know of because of the hour. And it has not. It's a good show. I've heard it before. It's just that it's on late on Wednesday evenings at 11 p.m. to midnight or 11:30 to 12:30. It's Night to Morning with Billy Vegas and
how do I read that? Because that's the same person.
Whatever. With Billy Vegas. And also we've got Sha Vang Her and Swab E. Feige on Friday at 7 to 8. Many other programs across the board on Conversation Digest station. That's where we're at. Every other show, that's their station as well. WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. We also have the Hard Rock and Metal Show with Robert Leisch, the Metal Man. Does he know? Woo. Do we want to know what his real name is? Does he ever give his real name?
It's the Metal Man, I guess.
Okay, scratch off the first name and the last name and just refer to him as the Metal Man. And a lot of other programs. Got Swab. I can't pronounce his name, and I apologize. Also, Ku Yang and Peter Yang. That's on Thursday evenings from 6 p.m. until 7 p.m. Okay, so a lot of other programs on. And, of course, if you want to volunteer to either have a program or do something else at Conversation Digest, that's fine. But I actually misspoke. What I'm trying to say is WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. If you want to volunteer, get a hold of someone at the station, 842-8390, otherwise 715-842-8390. And what you could do is fill out an application form, and you would just kind of say what it is that you would like to do to help out the station. We're all volunteer here. We don't make any money, and the station actually continues to exist through the good graces of those who volunteer. And that's how we operate at WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. Hard-hitting news coming up at the top of next hour. We're almost to the top of the 8 o'clock hour on this Halloween extravaganza. K-Man, when you were growing up, what was your favorite Halloween special, may I ask?
Garfield.
Was it the Garfield one where Halloween he dressed up, where him and Odie dressed up as pirates, right?
Yeah, and then they...
And they met real pirate ghosts. I love that one as well. That was a great Halloween special. The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown was a great one. Bowman. Even though you're not really able to talk right now because you have a mouthful of popcorn, what was your favorite Halloween special growing up?
Charlie Brown.
Okay, he loved the Charlie Brown. This is the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown episode. Now, he had a bald head. Never mind. I won't go there. I won't go there. What was funny about the Charlie Brown special is, and it continues to this day, the animation wasn't that great, but that never had much to do with it, did it?
No, it was a story.
It was the story. It was the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. It was the old Snoopy that wasn't really a... I mean, he was a beagle on a mission. He was running around as the Red Baron's adversary, right?
Yeah.
But then Snoopy became some sort of a lesser-than-himself form. He was dancing around to 90s music, wearing a... You know, anklet.
90s music?
I mean, you got to catch this one special with him in it, K-Man. He was wearing like a sweatshirt that had a cut-off neckline, and he was almost like from that show Fame. Do you remember that show? Or Glee.
Fame.
Right.
Glee.
It was like that. Fame was made in the 80s, and you don't remember it apparently, but it was a lot like the 80s version of Glee. And so that was what Snoopy was like in the 80s and 90s, but now hopefully he's going back to where he needs to be, which was just being you know, a tough, tough dog that wants to take down the Red Baron. You can't make cartoons like that anymore because they're saying, well, you know, that's not correct. It's not politically correct to say that there is an adversary or there is a foe.
We're coming up on that time.
All right, top of the hour, Conversation Digest. You are listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. Stick around for hour number two of pre-recorded new programming on Conversation Digest. After that, it will be a best of hour just for you, Mary. God bless you, you little sweetheart.
She likes her pre-recordedness.
Okay, more Halloween antics coming up. Don't get too scared to listen. Boo! Trick or Treat, Conversation Digest, WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM. You're listening to WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, your big hit station. It's Conversation Digest Verbal Extravaganza Halloween Special. This Friday evening, which was pre-recorded on Wednesday evening, Willa Pop's birthday. It's a sweet little birthday party. Sweet having a Halloween pop. Birthday party. It's a mixture of each and every one of those. The Kingman's birthday is on Saturday. And Saturday. My birthday is tomorrow as well as my brother's. It's all in 1 week. It's a wonderful extravaganza, and you're here to celebrate. Thanks for joining us. Please do not call in, because we're not here live. K-Man may or may not be in the studio currently, making sure that this pre-recorded program keeps afloat, because someone has to do it, and he does the dirty work sometimes when I'm not around. And even when I am around, he does almost all the dirty computer work. And that's not what it sounds like, K-Man. Hard-hitting news coming up in just a moment. Also, the second installment of what we saw on the way to the studio. And also, stick around for the Condition's second Halloween karaoke moment of the week. Michael Bowman will be joining us shortly, where he will be telling us about what he plans on doing for this Halloween. Now, I have to work. K-Man, what are your plans for Halloween this year?
I'm going to dress up and go door-to-door. Like a dress up as a kid with progeria.
Oh, okay, man. Apparently Bowman liked that one, so. Hey, Bowman! Bowman, guess what's on Conversation Digest right now as we speak? Hard-hitting news on Conversation Digest brought to you by NBC, apparently. The top five LA neighborhoods for trick or treating. How in the world did this become news? Well, because someone really wanted to know where they could go safely in L.A. And this is Conversation Digest, hard-hitting news. 29% of people that read this article were intrigued, 21% bored, 14% laughing, 14% thrilled, 14% sad, 7% furious. What percentage would I be where I say I really don't give a crap?
Or
huh?
Is that like an ad?
No. A new report rates LA's sweet spots based on home value, population density, a, quote, walk score, and crime data. One night a year, children are allowed to get dressed up and pester their neighbors for candy. Young Angelinos know the stakes. They only get one shot at a trick-or-treat, so every competitive edge counts. So for those candy lovers who want to maximize their haul, they may want to check out the second annual Zillow Trick-or-Treat Housing Index. Ooh. The list sorts LA's neighborhoods based on which hood has the most candy, the least walking, and safest streets. This year's big winner is Beverly Hills, where Willy Wonka does not reside. Okay, man, I'm going to need some scary sound effects when you do the...
This, especially this part?
Yeah, because...
Oh, yeah, I got that covered. Don't worry about it.
Okay. So the celebrity real estate market aside, this is truly a great place to visit on Halloween night if you like dollar sign homes. What a ridiculous way to write
money
an article.
Money homes?
Apparently. The current Zillow home value index is $1.9 million in Beverly Hills and low crime. In fact, the hood ranked in the top 25% in each index category.
They're saying hood.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous, isn't it? Top five Los Angeles neighborhoods to trick-or-treat in 2010, one of which, number one, why do they do it this way? See, we had a problem with the poll the other week where they listed the best one first and the worst one last. They had to go top five down to top one, but instead they did it reverse.
So
Beverly Hills, number one.
They're idiots.
Venice is number two. K-Man,
guess.
Without looking, what's number three, would you guess? I didn't realize these
like
were
the best place?
Parts of L.A. I didn't know that Beverly Hills...
Okay, what was the first one?
Beverly Hills. Venice is number two. You'll never get...
Hollywood.
No. Apparently, Hancock Park, Mid-City West. Okay, man. Studio City in Westchester is number five. Now, the rankings were based on home value, population density. We already read this. Los Angeles as a whole took the number 14 spot in the site's National Trick-or-Treat Index. Those extra ambitious trick-or-treaters may want to hit the road. San Francisco took the number two spot. San Jose was number four.
The number two spot.
Sacramento took number six, and San Diego was ranked as number 13. Looking for more.
We've really gone that low.
I haven't. I was looking at a Chewbacca costume on here. And it made me laugh, so I don't know what you were laughing about.
I was laughing about nothing.
So, but looking for more spooky events around town.
Snooky events? did you really say snooky?
I don't know what I did. I don't know what I said, but...
What's going on?
What's the best costume of 2010, FYI? Now, we just went through
probably
the top five
Harry
places
Potter.
To trick or treat in Los Angeles in 2010. Is Compton in there somewhere?
What?
I have no idea. Isn't Compton in L.A. or where's Compton?
Compton's a separate city.
Well, I'm going to need you to find out where it's at because
it's in near L.A.
Where are the best places to trick or treat in Wausau, Wisconsin? Not where I live. Yeah. Grand Avenue is not a good idea either. Is I'm not trying to besmirch streets.
Grand Avenue is just crazy.
Would you want to trick or treat? Let's say you're a kid. Would you want to trick or treat on Grand Avenue?
No.
Same here.
My
Bowman. Hey Bowman. If you were a kid in Wausau, would you want to trick or treat on Grand Avenue? So, FYI, if you're out to a location like a bar and you're drinking adult beverages a week before Halloween, and a few people traipse into the bar, some people may actually get angry about that. I saw that. You know what? I'm going to save it because that's what I saw on the way to the studio, even though that was last week. Remember, what we saw on the way to the studio is actually all about is the sights and the sounds of life. It's not just what we saw on the way to the studio, K-Man, each and every Friday. It's just what we see. It's a visualization through our eyes of what we see on a daily basis, and it just so happens that I am more observational on my way to the studio than I normally am in most days of the week. Why are you giving me that look, K-Man? I observe more on my way to the studio because I'm actually paying attention. On my way to work and back from work each day, I'm usually not observing too much.
I'm just busy with
The daily rigors of life. But on Friday evenings, if I'm going to the radio studio, I'm more relaxed. I'm more sedated. I'm more full of... Do you remember when we first started doing the program roughly 3 years ago?
That's a long
time ago. I used to be
ago.
Nervous about going on the air, even though I had many years of broadcast experience, because I had no idea where the show would be going. And then we introduced guidelines. Bowman, you remember those? Uh-oh. Now he's angry. What are you eating now? All right. The last of the pizza. I thought you said you were going to share. All right. Well, apparently his stomach chose otherwise. He is not sharing. So there was an initial point to this whole conversation on Conversation Digest that I used to be nervous about doing the show.
Really?
So when we were – I really was because I had no idea where the show would be going. We used to strive for 2 hours every single week.
Well, we're doing that now.
Plus, we always had tension back then, K-Man.
Attention?
Tension. T-E-N-S-I-O-N. Between,
I thought you were going to say attention.
Not between me, but between you and the other two gentlemen that used to be on the show but no longer are. Okay. Even though the one in the kitchen could be on the show quite often if you chose to be so. But quite often he has an NFL game to watch on Friday nights. Actually, you're probably watching high school football, aren't you, Ballman? We need to come up with a different name for him. What can we call him? 3-1 doesn't cut it anymore because the other guy, never mind. Hard-hitting news. Trick-or-treating in Los Angeles, whether you think it's safe or not, like I said, there were five places you could go, and we'll just read through those one more time real quick here in case you're catching a plane to Compton or in case you're catching a plane to Beverly Hills. Don't forget to take your trick-or-treat bag, and don't forget, dress up as a... What's popular this year?
It's not Tickle Me Elmo.
No, but you could dress up as a character from Halo. It's a very popular game. I'm making up a list myself. These are the costumes that probably you should check into dressing up as. Barack Hussein Obama, because the president that is the incumbent is someone that we could always dress up as.
You know,
Richard Nixon, that costume never gets old.
Oh, you stole my thunder.
Power Rangers are out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are out. Do not dress like one of them this year. Batman, he's always in, but it's old news by now. Spider-Man, old news. Star Wars, don't do it. Don't go there, girlfriend. What else is big for costumes this year? Harry Potter, you think so, K-Man?
Harry Potter's always big.
I'm tired of Harry Potter. For those of you who listen to Conversation Digest all the time, perhaps just wear a Conversation Digest t-shirt. Make one yourself. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, make one yourself.
I'm not dressing up this year because I have to work, so what's the point? And that's fine. God bless making a living. But, Bowman, what would you say is a big-time costume for this season of 2010 Halloween season?
Series?
Vampires? Well,
oh, Twilight!
No, he's right about that, because despite the fact that vampires have been around since Judas was in the Bible, he was the first vampire, supposedly, biblically speaking, right?
Supposedly.
Okay, so now we have a reintroduction of popularity of vampires, which are in turn killing machines. We love a creature that does nothing more than kill us constantly. Well, seriously. They just want to... So we have Twilight, which is very popular. It's a vampire movie. We have True Blood, which is a TV series
that
involves
like
a lot of supernatural creatures, possibly, K-Man. There's a show called Supernatural on the CW, which is a very good program. They go around and they look at characters that are supernatural
orientated
origins. So, hey, Bowman, what's going on this evening? What are you writing about on your hand? What have you been up to in life lately? Pick it up. High energy.
Well, it is oriented.
I know.
We don't need to cause rifts or debates this evening. I think we've done that plenty in the past. I just want to key in on a few things because, you know, this is how I do my shows or how I participate.
Is this an update?
In shows is in regards to your NBC dropping. I do a lot of that in my show on Sunday nights.
What's I hate it. On the table well, I don't Hollywood like sludge. NBC, but, you know, that was for that top five. Oh, by all means, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Well, that's really my main connection that I could contribute at this time.
Wasn't there a programming update on what's left on the table?
Well, it's still...
Yes, it is that there is nothing left on the table. I apologize. No, that is... Okay, can us be... I mean, K-Man, could you please edit that out? That was very rude and inconsiderate. Well, you can't do that on the air.
Well, that was the great equalizer.
You've never done real radio, buddy. So, okay, Bowman.
Yeah, what's going on, Hellman?
Listen to what I'm saying here, please. I'm begging of you. If you were to say anything about what's left on the table and what will be left on the table in the near future, what is happening with that program? Because one of the last times I spoke with you, or spoke at you, it was good being heard, you had said something about changing up your show, like there was going to be a co-host, or maybe you would now be speaking as a woman. What was the updated information? Out with it, man.
We're considering adding a long-time, or I should say a long-term co-host, Chris. It's still under negotiation. Because he's certainly got a busy schedule, and so do I. You know, busy, busy, busy. You got your girlfriend who lives in Managua, and then you got your dog that you need to come home to. I apologize. I was kind of channeling Hauptmann.
No, I get very down
friend,
about things.
A friend of mine who's very similar to the situation there for a moment. Now, I think... I was looking at the show because I would go in and we used to talk about the mundanity of life, and part of the show was becoming that part of that ritual. And a show should work wonders in your life. It shouldn't just be this, well, let's take this pen and check off this box. Yeah, we did that this week. That was fun. Uh-huh.
Are you besmirching the guidelines again?
No, I'm doing nothing of the sort.
Okay.
Is that I'm saying is that you need
Bob, happy birthday.
You need to have some joy, some passion when you're doing the show, and I think by bringing Chris in, at least for the short term, if not the long term, that will perhaps create some pathways for me to explore some of my creative energy that's kind of just been festering and sitting because it doesn't have someone to
like
play
a wound
off of.
That won't heal. Well, will he talk about Lindsay Lohan and Katy Perry and Justin Timberlake's tenuous yet perpetual relationship with Jessica Biel?
Well, he has more of a different view when it comes to things. I'd like to say, and I've said in my promo, I talk about these things from kind of a moralistic standpoint, but Chris is even morally centered in his arguments, and he's more about, you know, decency and having respect for these people as he's reporting on them. As for me, and, well, basically Biff Mendelsohn, is that we need to hit these celebrities in the face and talk about their issues. Now, I will say we just report the stories, but adequately, we need to speak not necessarily in the best way about these people, so perhaps, you know, light a fire under them.
Okay. Well, hold on to that thought, Bowman. Right now on Conversation Digest, 12 after the hour, every single hour that we're on the air, 12 after the hour, what we saw on the way to the studio Conversation Digest, WNRB LP Wausau, 93.3 FM. Oh, FYI, real quick here, if you hear the K-Man or me clapping in the background, we explain this every single week. You got to leave at least one in there so they know what I'm talking about. What that is, it's a marker. I explain this every week because in case they hear a clap, they know it's a marker, like in filmmaking, for the editing process. It says, here's the beginning, here's the end. K-Man, what I realized just now is that I'm getting better at describing what those claps are for. So what we saw on the way to the studio, it's an exploration into typically what we saw on the way to the studio, but not necessarily...
It's not the grand... What is that one place called? The Grand Canyon? It's not the Grand Canyon. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's not something that even matters. It's just what we saw on the way to the studio.
Bowman, what'd you see on the way to the studio this evening, which is actually the headquarters of the condition?
Well, I was very much concerned with the conditions outside.
No, you can't use my name as a description of what's going on outside.
When did I use your name?
Well, you said the conditions of what's going on outside. I'm like, I'm not outside, I'm inside. Okay, I know what you mean. The weather, it was windy, right? Yes, it was very windy. Okay, I'm sorry, I'll stop doing my impersonation of you. It was windy outside, is that what you're getting at, or was there flurries?
There happened to be this coarse breeze that was wishing to blow the car off the highway. And in addition, there was this drip-drop of rain, not so heavenly like in a Dickens novel, but a little bit more sloppier and made things a little bit more dangerous driving up the highway tonight.
All right, well, what he saw on the way to the studio was sloppy rain, apparently, so... I saw a little bit of this and a little bit of that. I did see Willa Pop celebrating her birthday, and she started the day. See, and I'm at the Condition's headquarters. I am the Condition. We're not at WNRBLP. We're not there. We're not at the WAHMA. We're at my location because we're pre-recording for Friday's program. What I saw on the way to the studio was Willa Pop celebrating her birthday by grabbing toys, running around, being jubilant, eating a new meal tonight. Every meal is new, but this one is special because she had some bagged wet food mixed in with dry food, and she ate just the right amount to not give herself a stomach ache. She's got a weak stomach, as I do, because she eats consistent food. She doesn't mix in new stuff all the time. So if you might hear Willa Pop in the background doing a happy birthday tug of war with Michael Bowman, and I'm not going to do Willa Pop's voice.
And the other thing I saw on the way to the studio was sweet little Willa Pop this week has been obsessed with the basement. She has been scratching on the door incessantly and nonstop. She wants to go down to the basement, so then when I let her down in the basement, K-Man, she doesn't do much of anything. It is a newfound fascination. If you are a dog lover or a cat lover, we all know how wonderful they are. We know how much we love them as family members, but they are absolutely idiosyncratic.
She's just messing with you.
They do some things that drive you buggy.
And you know it.
I haven't slept well in the past 3 days, not just because of insomnia, but because of Willa Pop's incessant unwillingness to leave me alone when I'm trying to sleep. If you go over to your cat Zero when he is sleeping and you rough him up a little bit, you do this or you do that, he gets angry, doesn't he?
No, he just wakes up and meows at me.
Oh, Willa Pop gets angry. She growls. And
Willa Pop is a female.
Burn.
But that's what a
K-Man
you wake up any girl and they're going to be angry.
Okay, I hope. Well, in case email Mary's listening, please don't get upset about that, Mary.
It's true, though.
Odds are there will be an email about that next week.
Well, that's fine with me.
Hopefully she didn't get up on the wrong side of the bed, because that will be an angry. But normally the anger is directed at me anyway, so hopefully that week.
She likes me for some reason.
Well, she kind of adores you, and that's the alarming part of it. So, okay, what we saw on the way to the studio each and every week, 12 after the hour, Mikhail Bomanovsky, which is what I call Michael Bowman, because he is a Russian. Okay, man, what'd you see on the way to the studio? I apologize. You and I got in that conversation about Willa Pop.
But now what I saw on the way to the studio is you just blatantly forgetting about me.
I didn't. Okay, you got into the conversation about sweet little Willa Pop and her incessant idiosyncratic behavior.
I was going to say my windshield wiper on the way down looked like it was going to
give up.
Like part of it was just sliding off
the side. I thought those were new.
Yeah, me too.
So where did you get those done? I know you can't say it on the air, but off the air.
Cover the microphone if you would, please.
Oh, yeah. Well, that explains it. Okay, so go back and complain to those jerks.
I think it's past the day.
Past the warranty date?
Yeah.
I haven't had...
But I guess updated what I saw on the way to the studio is you just forgetting about what I saw on the way to the studio.
I didn't mean to. We just got in the conversation about sweet little Willa Pop and her birthday and her incessant...
I had to raise my hand
scratching
like,
on the basement door.
Sir, may I speak?
I appreciate that, too. So what we saw on the way to the studio, it was an adventure in and of itself. Hard-hitting news. We've got an attorney wanting marijuana from a client. That's on this week's episode of Conversation Digest. Which attorney was it? You'll know in just a moment. Courtesy of the Daily Herald of Wausau. A Wausau attorney accused of... what?
I don't know what's going on anymore.
A Wausau attorney accused of asking the client to purchase marijuana for him avoided jail time this morning after a judge ordered him to only pay a fine. Ronald J. Moore... not related to Michael Moore of Filmdom, as far as we know. He's 55. This should be part of the I don't give a crap moment of the week.
Have himself for an attorney?
Okay, man. So you're saying he's a pusher?
No. When he's in the court
he won't. I mean, you don't really need an attorney for possession of marijuana, as far as I know.
But I was going to say
he pleaded no contest.
The old adage,
so.
The person who has their own... is there self for an attorney as a fool for a client?
I don't even know what you're saying. It's like you're talking like Foghorn Leghorn or something.
I say.
So pleaded no contest to misdemeanor charges of attempted possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Moore provided his client with cash to purchase drugs and told his client to bring his drug paraphernalia to Moore's office, according to court records. He's reminding me of that attorney on Breaking Bad. It's a wonderful show on AMC.
Better Call Saul.
And his name is Saul Goodman, played by Steve Odenkirk.
Bob Odenkirk.
Played by Bob Odenkirk. Does he have a brother named Steve?
I can check.
Okay, I know Mike Bowman does. But anyway, Bob Odenkirk is a crooked lawyer. He's a great lawyer because he'll get you out scot-free, but he's a criminal on the side. So that's what this Ronald J. Moore sounds like. If Moore is an avid listener of Conversation Digest, Ronald, you know what? I'm not saying you're a bad person. I'm just saying you have bad judgment. And as an attorney, you should know this isn't a good scenario. Alcoholism, as long as
you're... He has a brother named Bill.
Bill Odenkirk, okay.
Who works on Futurama.
Bob Odenkirk has a brother. We need to revisit what we're talking about there, K-Man.
Oh, yeah, I'm just because, sorry. I'm jumping in.
Okay. Well, at least I didn't forget you this time. So
you're welcome.
So Ronald J. Moore, 55, is an attorney, but he wanted the He wanted the person that he's helping to represent bring the pot, I mean marijuana, whatever it's called, to his office. Oneida County Circuit Court Judge Patrick O'Melia presided over the case, and Assistant State Attorney General Don Latorica, whatever it is, prosecuted the case as local judges and prosecutors had a conflict of interest because they previously worked with Moore on cases. O'Melia said he considered giving Moore time in jail because Moore was in a position of trust. And O'Melia's... Oh, he's just marking that. O'Melia said he ultimately decided that Moore faces greater punishment from the Office of Lawyer Regulation, which might suspend or revoke his license, his law license. O'Melia also ordered Moore to pay more than $1,900 in the form of $1,939 in restitution to the client's family for legal fees it paid to Moore. The part of this, I already have a problem with an attorney or anybody doing pot illegally because it's illegal. If it was legal, whichever. I don't care at that point. But the part I have a problem with this is that O'Melia has been told to pay $1,900 and some $39 in restitution to the client's family for legal fees it paid to Moore. Did the client of the attorney have to, as in was a gun put to the head of that client to sell drugs or to take drugs to the attorney's location?
Probably just, wow, that's messed up.
If anyone should have to pay restitution to the client's family, it should be the client. Am I right or am I wrong? Bowman, you're a very liberal individual. K-Man, you're quite liberal. You believe in not... You don't believe in victims' rights. You believe in the criminal's rights. Now, the criminal is the client. The criminal is the attorney. So, in essence, who is the victim in this situation? Is it the family? The family is only the victim if, in fact, they have to pay the amount for the legal fees. Which, why did they anyway? Why are they paying why is the family of the client paying the legal fees? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. We have a bum that's already been convicted they're trying to convict him of something, and we're going to throw that person in jail probably.
Isn't the attorney also a victim?
No, the victim is not the attorney. Apparently there is no victim in this situation. Let's be honest here, there is no victim.
Are you sure this isn't the we don't give a crap moment of the week?
It is in essence. What I've realized more and more about news in America and news in WASA primarily, or news in Wisconsin, is normally I don't give a crap about it. Now, Mikhail Bomanovsky, what you have to realize is, first of all, finally that energy drink is kicking in. It took an hour and a half, for gosh sakes. K-Man, you saw me, I was dragging.
It takes a while for those to kick in.
It does.
It has to go through your stomach and into your intestines before it goes into your bloodstream.
Which means I'll be visiting the bathroom any moment now.
Oh, no.
The Moore is what his name is. The attorney shouldn't have bought the marijuana. Most attorneys that I know of, if they have vices, typically what they are is related directly to alcohol and large consumptions of.
Or coffee.
Like the guy that used to be on our show but is no longer because he couldn't man up.
Who is it?
Well, not Mikhail Bomanovsky.
Just trying to get you to put money into the...
Well, that's fine. I'm just joking. Again. You drink a lot of alcohol too, K-Man. I mean, you
do. Not as much as certain people.
So K-Man throws him back a lot. He's got a silver liver, apparently. But what I'm getting at is that the attorney should not be doing the marijuana. The client should not be doing the marijuana. But more importantly, in this situation, because we're trying to make the client's family seem like victims, the client's family should not have had to have paid the legal fees for the client because the client should have paid the legal fees himself. And I don't know what that person's name is, by the way.
Who is the client?
I don't know what his name is. Or it could be a her, for crying out loud. It doesn't say if it's a man or a woman. At least I don't think it did. I wasn't really paying attention to the article because it's long and drones on forever.
I don't think it says the name.
Okay, so we don't know if it's a man or a woman. So, really, we're just going to transition back into the Halloween episode. Michael Bowman!
That was scary.
What are you dressing up for Halloween?
A ceramic mini schnauzer.
There is a bust of a ceramic mini schnauzer in my house, and Michael Bowman is carrying it around as if it's one of those potatoes or flour sacks in home economics class, learning how to be a teen parent.
Well, if I do go out, I've thought about it at some length.
Ooh.
Is Bowser from Super Mario Brothers, but it's going to take some game planning, and my evenings may be booked between now and Saturday night when everyone in the splendid college town in which I abide.
Wait a minute.
Which may be going out.
Did you buy a costume that you're planning on wearing?
No, no. I do things by my own hand.
How do you have time to make a costume? Yes, K-Man?
Does that mean you're going to go out and steal a girl?
Oh, that's a good joke. I like that. And does that mean that repeatedly, no matter how often you've got the true advantage, in other words, in a dungeon or whichever, and you've got a bunch of little Bowser kids, for whatever reason, you can't stop an uneducated plumber that barely can speak?
Yeah, just like real life. Yeah.
All he ever says is, it's a me, a Mario. That's all he ever says. The guy never advances in verbiage, and yet he always saves the day. How is he a hero? Link from Zelda is a true hero, right? The lady Samus from Metroid is a true hero. Even Sonic is more of a hero than Mario, and yet Mario is beloved by all. Now, how, instead of Mario, did you decide to dress up like Bowser, if in fact you choose to do that?
Well, these are just random ideas that pop into my head. It's what I used to call creative spurts. And I still have these, but not as frequently as I used to have a creative spurt.
Well, may I ask,
every so often.
Are you depressed? Is that why your brain activity has slowed, if not stopped, altogether?
Well, generally, after I left the show and after who we referred to, because I'm not part of the show, I can call him Ziffelman, left the show.
There's a quarter in the do not talk about him jar.
Is that, I think, talking about your mood on the show changed. Because there was the situation, and there's the K-Man. And I think the emotions and the feelings on the show changed.
I'm the condition, not the situation. Just so you know.
Predicament. I generally still screw it up. So, I think the emotions and feelings in connection with the show changed dramatically after those couple points.
What does this have to do with Halloween? I mean, it's scary what you're talking about and how it never ends, but what does it have to do with... This is our Halloween extravaganza!
Extravaganza.
So, where are we getting at with this? Because I was asking you about Bowser, and then I said, are you depressed because your mind isn't working? But then what you were saying is, oh, you're not on the show very often anymore, and that's why you're depressed. I do not say that, and I will not say that.
Well, no, my take, when someone throws a word in my face, and better a word than other things...
That's what she said.
...is that I expand upon that, and that's exactly what I did there. You said depressed or depression, and so I had to take it in my direction. I wasn't trying to make any correlation to the show. I am not really a unified member of the show anymore, so therefore it's harder for me to come to the table.
Well, here's the story. We've reintroduced the notion of you coming back on at least once or twice a month. You're welcome to do that. Which is tonight, which is great. So does Ceramic Willipop have anything to say? All right. So, okay, K-Man, what would you dress up for Halloween if you had a chance? If you could dress up like anything, you had all the fabric or all the material in the world, all the resources, you could do any kind of a costume you want within decency. I mean, you can't do something grotesque or whichever. Do something that's creative and yet acceptable, not only in terms of society, but more importantly in terms of the condition, which is me. What would you dress up as?
Andrew W.K.
Well, no one would.
You know how much blood he has coming out of his mouth?
Why?
I don't know.
Why don't you explain to the listening audience who that is, because they may not know. He's not like Britney Spears. He's more obscure.
I really don't know how to describe him, rather than wearing white pants and white shirt, long hair, and then blood just dripping out of his mouth.
I didn't really preface the conversation to Michael Bowman like I did with you. I didn't say that he could have all the resources. Bowman, if you had all the resources, all the fabric or material or creativity in the world, you know, because you have none of those right now, would you still dress up like Bowser?
Well, no, I think these are just random thoughts that come to my head. I'd have to do like a Marie Antoinette or Scarlett O'Hara, because on both of these... Because think about it. When you watched, let's say, the movie with Kirsten Dunst or the other movie...
Spider-Man.
With... Who played Scarlett O'Hara in the movie?
Vivian Leigh.
Vivian Leigh. Is that... At some point in both of those movies, they're both wearing dresses that are very extravagant. And when you said a surplus or no end a fabric in sight, then I thought of those two dresses, and therefore...
Well, I didn't say that being transgendered had anything to do with selection of your costume.
Well, no, that was just a random...
Would you change your voice that evening, on Halloween evening, if you were wearing a dress and looking like Scarlett O'Hara and, frankly, your dear not giving a dang? Would you dress and talk like her? Would you go around with a southern drawl and say that you're a southern belle? Yeah. Would you try to catch a carpetbagger?
Only if she was female.
Carpetbagger is a term that was in use in reference to people that were traveling in the Deep South, Cayman, during Reconstruction, and they were quite often criminals.
We're
but
learning something now?
Yes.
Normally Northerners, I always thought they were.
I don't remember what they were. All I know is it's Willapop's birthday. It's the Halloween extravaganza. Willapop, give a birthday growl. Bowman, would you please hold that up to her? All right, she's giving a birthday grunt because she's playing with a birthday tug-a-toy. You get
your gifts on Friday. Calm down.
Apparently there's no money right now to buy a sweet little Willapop. There we go. That's her birthday growl. Yeah. Okay, so if I had all the resources, all the fabric, all the material, and all the patience, and a little bit of creativity, well, or a lot of creativity because I currently don't have it, I have no idea what I would dress up as.
The first thing I thought of was Andrew McKay.
I thought you were going to say Stephen Hawking. Okay, man. Because really, he's more...
I can do that!
He is more active than you, no offense.
He moves his eyes around, and right now I'm flipping
my head
around.
I don't know what I would dress up as. If you were me, what would you dress up as? Now, don't be a jerk about this, K-Man. If you were me, who would you dress up as?
Chewbacca.
Okay, I can do it. Anybody want to buy me a Chewbacca outfit?
It's Stephen Hawking.
Email Mary. This is from last week. Are you guys going to do a Halloween special next week? Yeah, Mary, you're hearing it right now. Calm down.
It's pre-recorded. What are we going to do?
We've said this in past months that we're probably going to do the Halloween special tonight. So
it's very near Halloween.
Okay. Coming up in just a few moments, the second of the karaoke moment, courtesy of the condition coming up. It's a Halloween song that I have sang in past years for karaoke around Halloween time. And I won't give up that just yet, but that'll happen in just a bit here. But right now, the other I don't give a crap moment of the week.
Woo!
Hour 2, installment number 3. Or just, that's actually installment number 4, by the way. No, that's 3. It's just that a lot of these hard-hitting news and I don't give a crap moment of the week are starting to sound a lot alike, so.
Just that you just don't care about them?
Well, these are stories. This is something I don't even care about. The 100 scariest movie moments, courtesy of Ballman's favorite website, wikipedia.org. It's the free encyclopedia. Directors with the most films appearing on the countdown that are within the 100 scariest movie moments, they're not all on here. Apparently. These were the ones that were most notable because they had the most on here. Let's see how many of these we agree with. First place, 5 films. Apparently, are there 100 on here, K-Man?
I would think so.
No, there can't be. 1, 2. Anyway, so Wes Craven, The Last House on the Left, never seen it. The Hills Have Eyes, I've never seen it. The Serpent and the Rainbow, I have never seen it. A Nightmare on Elm Street, I have seen it. And Scream, I have not seen it.
You have not seen Scream?
No, I haven't seen Scream.
Wow.
Well, that's the one with Nave Campbell, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's scary because she doesn't take her shirt off.
Agreed.
I mean, what, you know, why are we not... Let's seriously, Nave.
Nev,
whatever. I mean, David Cronenberg, The Fly, which is a good film from what I've heard.
That is creepy.
The only thing... You know what I don't like about it?
Jeff Goldblum's
I don't like
naked.
Jeff Goldblum's in
He's
there.
He's in there
what?
Naked a lot.
Okay, that's not good. The Brood, which I've heard of, but I don't know if I've seen it. The Dead Zone was that movie that was adapted from the short story by Stephen King, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I think Leah has that. Leah's The Significant Other. She has that on DVD. I have not seen it yet. George A. Romero. This is the top 100 scariest movies. These moments, I should say, but they don't list the moments. That's the stupid thing about this. Wikipedia.org, you're disappointing me here because the title here, K-Man, is called The 100 Scariest Movie Moments. But instead of saying which moment of the movie...
Well, it's saying that it was a TV series that was on Bravo in 2004.
Yeah, but... Okay, but K-Man, they're saying that these are the most shocking moments. They're listing
them... Oh, I guess there's not 100.
No, not even close.
Way to go, K-Man. So what they're doing here is they're saying, okay, God, quit breathing on me. What are you doing? That's disgusting. Okay, so all they're saying is the top three, these are the directors that got the most mentions in this top 100. And K-Man's bored, but whatever.
Oh, I accidentally yawned.
Okay, so Romero had Dine of the Living Dead, which I've seen. It's a classic. Dawn of the Dead and Creepshow, which is what Bowman's last date was called.
Dawn of the Dead?
No, Creepshow.
Oh.
So the Steven Spielberg classic Jurassic Park, I don't know how scary it was, but it was probably the scariest of all the ones ever made. Duel, I've not seen. Was that the one between Raymond Burr and what's his name? The Duel. Never mind. I don't even know what that is. Remember that classic? Who was that between?
Andrew Jackson?
No. Raymond Burr and someone else. Jaws was also there by Steven Spielberg. Spielberg is a hack. His career is what's scary now. Everything's scary on this Halloween special. John Carpenter, The Thing. Was that scary? Anyone?
I didn't see it.
Okay. Halloween was also on there. David Fincher, Seven, which is a great film. It is scary. The Game, I have not seen. M. Night Shyamalan, The Sixth Sense. Once again, top 100 moments, scariest film moments. These are the directors that scored the most often. We have M. Night Shyamalan. These are all third place. Once again, first place, Wes Craven. Second place, Dave Cronenberg. George.
You call him Dave? You know him.
Okay, his name is David Cronenberg. George A. Romero and Steven Spielberg. And I would say Jaws for sure. I don't know about. What is Duel? Anybody know?
Ah, look it up.
I can look it up here too, K-Man.
Well.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, it's kind of creepy. It's got the. It's the one with the semi. The semi driver. And the semi, it's like Demon Driver. There was a sequel to it. So, anyway, so
Duel
in
two?
Third place. Yeah, that was the one with the car, though. M. Night Shyamalan, The Sixth Sense, scary film, and Signs. But really, I thought instead of Signs, The Village was much more scary. The Village was a very scary film. The first time
more
you saw that?
More pushed in reality than Signs or The Sixth Sense.
I thought the Village was fantastic. Alfred Hitchcock, third place, Psycho.
Why isn't he on there more?
And The Birds? Yeah, he should be. Especially since he was so innovative, he was one of the first to do it. Mario Bava, Black Sunday, Blood and Black Lace, Todd Browning, with whom I have never heard of, Freaks and Dracula, Roman Polanski, Rosemary's Baby, The Tenant, and his criminal record.
Hey-o!
Which I didn't, you know, that wasn't really a film. The guy's a creep. He's disgusting. I'd be thrown in the slammer for the rest of his life. Toby Hooper, with whom I have never heard of. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I have heard of that. And Poltergeist, which is a great film, starring none other than Craig T. Nelson. Lucio Fucci, whatever, Zombie 2 and the Beyond, and then Danny Boyle, 28 Days Later and Shallow Grave. And thus, this wraps up the most worthless portion of any Conversation Digest that we have ever had. The scariest moment we've ever had is also the most pathetic on Conversation Digest. Still haven't thought of what I would dress up as if I was given all the materials and resources in the world.
Han Solo.
No. I mean, that doesn't take a lot of resources. Really, either does Chewbacca. I just grab a brown section of a carpet and I just drape it over myself and go around. No. I don't want to go.
No, but you'd actually be that big.
No. That's kind of an obscure reference.
Or Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
No, that'd be ridiculous.
Or Elastigirl from The Incredibles.
That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
What about The Blob?
I know. I would probably dress up, if we're talking about real resources and real
Homer
money.
Simpson.
No, that'd be ridiculous. And look like a real cartoon?
Yeah.
No, I think I would dress up as Godzilla versus Mothra.
Both of them?
Yes. Because we said all the materials, all the money, all the resources are in the resources in the world, I could utilize anything. I would dress up as Godzilla. That's where I used to live as a kid.
Godzilla?
What
if she just drew like 1,000 times?
Well, we could probably do that. Godzilla. She's just going for treats and a comfy couch to lay on. So I would probably dress as Godzilla versus Mothra. Let's make it happen.
Okay, we need all the resources and all the money.
So 842-8390. Okay, we can do it. If you build it, I will wear it. If you build it, I will wear it. 842-8390 is not a number you should call this evening because it's a pre-recorded Halloween extravaganza.
Twilla pops. Oh, you made her fall, Ballman. What are you doing? Okay, right now on Conversation Digest, the condition's second installment of the karaoke moment of the week. It's a song that I have at one point or another sang in karaoke during the Halloween season. And right now on WNRBLP Wausau 93.3 FM, it's the Monster Mash. The classic Monster Mash that gets me in the mood every single time for things that are scary. And Halloween oriented.
Oh, I get
that, man.
Getting you in the mood for Halloween.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun.
In a shoebox.
The party had just begun.
In a shoebox.
The guest included Wolfman,
in a shoebox.
Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive with their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash. Out from his coffin, Rack's voice did ring. Seemed he was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's caught on in a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Rack's a part of the band, and my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them Gordy sent
you. Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And you, my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
Mash. Monster Mash Ball. Monster Mash Ball. Monster Mash Ball. Monster Mash.
You know what? We're coming back now. Coming back. If you want to hear archived episodes of Conversation Digest, please go to, if you would like, famousashtray.com, all one word, as well as the K-Man's show. You can hear his archived episodes, the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion archived episodes on FamousAshtray.com.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I totally updated
it. I also saw how you updated the avatar, the image.
Avatar?
The image, isn't that what that's called?
Oh,
the bed exploding. Because
I added that.
The K-Man's been doing the show for a little over a month, and initially he had this icon on his Facebook fan page for the show. He had an explosion. I said, you know, K-Man, you're covering one of two bases that you need to cover. You're covering the you're covering the explosion. I said maybe you can add some Z's.
At least I
but
didn't
then,
put an exploding baby on there.
Well, that would have been ridiculous.
Well, it's a lullaby explosion.
I don't know how you would have pulled that off with you know,
body parts of a baby flying.
That
everywhere.
Would be ridiculous. The other thought I had was you could have had the Sandman exploding. You could have had
Spider-Man 3.
No, that was that dude from
Wings. Well, then what's the
Wings.
Standardized?
I don't know. I don't know that we have a standardized version of the Sandman.
Talking about in Batman.
The other thought I had.
Sandman's in there, isn't he?
No, don't be ridiculous.
The other thought I had was that you could have the original song, Mr. Sandman, Bring Me a Dream. Bowman, may I ask you to sing that song? Do you know the words? Mr. Sandman,
yes?
Bring me your dreams. Wash my laundry and make sure it's clean. Da, da, da. I hope that you will be around soon. I'm about to drink some cola. Bum, 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 bum. Some caffeine's really good and bubbles in my nose. It's a hope I fall asleep soon song. You're talking about drinking a caffeinated soda, you jerk face. That's a classic. I think you could somehow equate that into your program. Ask the listeners. Let's ask the listeners.
Well, let's just see if we ever get any responses.
One of these days, what I would kind of like to do for FamousAshtray.com, and my schedule is getting busier with work and such and with yard work and such, but I was thinking it would be kind of nice if we could have some sort of listener interaction whereby we would have a poll on there for 2 weeks so that you, being the website designer and the website organizer and updater, because you've got more time to work with than I do because your work week is less busy.
Work at different times.
We could have a poll on there for 2 weeks up to a month. And it'd be a broad question whereby they would have a month to answer it. We give the results after the month. That gives them one month to prepare for it.
Five people who...
No, you know what? We're going to play high stakes here. We're talking 20 to 30 people. Especially when we start broadcasting in a larger area, which hopefully happens.
Well, we'll be syndicated
someday.
Or something?
So, no, well, I mean, you know, you've never done real radio before, K-Man, so.
Then, I guess you got me there.
Of course, I got fired, buddy, but. That, you know, I always yelled at K-Man for making obscure references. All that is
you seem to be doing a pretty good job yourself with that right now.
It's a conversational reference to an old, old episode. It was a classic goodie where Bowman and I... will not rehash.
It's an oldie where we come from.
Where we got in a little bit of a scuffle on the air. It's a classic. It really is. And
it was great.
So I said, well, Bowman had never worked in real radio, and then he said, I got fired from radio, which never happened, FYI. Which I don't even know why I'm bringing it up, because I could have just acted like that conversation never happened. So where are we at for the time here, K-Man, for 2 hours of Conversation Digest?
1:42.
All right. Okay, and you got anything else to say, Michael Bowman, before I go on to something else?
Well, I like...
just bought the microphone. She bit the microphone.
Halloween movies at times, they're kind of fun.
Okay, but do you remember your favorite one, but don't remember what it was called or what it was about or what?
That's, you know, that was our first Halloween show.
Was that the...
That was the very first Halloween show.
I remember a few weeks ago, we were actually talking about this, how the first episode, supposedly, of Conversation Digest, where we were all assembled, was the one where it was, in fact, a Halloween special?
No.
Is that a true story?
Yeah, I believe it was the next week. The next week was the Halloween special.
Oh, so we did 1 week before... Back then, we really did a lot of Wikipedia.org material, and I'm thinking about going back that way because I miss it, but... No, we would talk about things like Halloween, Sasquatch.
Robots.
Oh, Krug's calling me. Robots, how to build them, how to destroy them. I still love that notion. But, you know, if let's go back to an oldie but a goodie, and let's just talk about one topic for the rest of the show, which is about another 10 minutes. Favorite scary movie. Let's do it. Mikhail Bomanovsky, if you had to choose one, which would be your favorite Halloween movie? Or scary movie. It doesn't have to necessarily have anything to do with Halloween. Yeah, right.
Well, Scream, as you may or may not have heard, Kenuspe, it's certainly a quality movie. I have to probably go with Dawn of the Dead, the first one. George A. Romero one from the 1970s. Just a few of the things that happened to that movie there. Going through, I guess you could call it a ghetto. And,
well, we already talked about the top five places to trick-or-treat in L.A.
Well, that...
Where's the one place? What was number two?
Compton. No, it was actually Venice. But, okay, so George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead, number
first,
one?
First one, yeah. Not
is
the
your favorite scary movie?
I would have to say so at this time.
It's not even that scary, FYI. The acting was atrocious, and Romero barely knew what he was doing. I mean, he does now for the most part, right? I think he does, doesn't he?
Well, he...
Well, it doesn't matter. I still have a crush on Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell. What is the reason for George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead being your favorite scary movie? I need facts here,
it's
man.
It's really the cinematography, the way that it's done.
It's atrocious.
The background music is another reason. Like, I was about to talk about how at the beginning of the movie they burst open this door and then they shoot this guy in the head. And you're talking about explosions early in the show for Cayman's Lullaby Explosion. Is that they shoot this man's head and it just flies everywhere.
Yeah, it looks so fake. All it's ridiculous.
Well, that's why it sticks in the mind.
Well, I don't understand. Romero, I mean, Romero makes this film.
The bullets didn't really stick in his mind. They kind of blew up his mind everywhere. But
yeah, there was not a second gunman. But it didn't resonate with me as a good film. It's like the early David Lynch films. Eraserhead is a gut-wrenchingly awful film. If you have never seen Eraserhead, I need someone to defend the show, the movie, I should say, if you like it. Ballman, you like Romero's Dawn of the Dead. K-Man, where are we at with you on your favorite scary film of all time? Don't say home movies or some droll thing like that. Did I take your thunder? No, I didn't.
I was going to say Legally Blonde.
Oh.
From a certain standpoint, your feet will just go off your body because you're scared. It'll blow right off
of the
feet.
Movie that you're going to tell me about?
Legally Blonde.
Okay, well, let's be serious about...
Ballman just shuddered.
Yeah, that's more of a comedy. Let's be serious here, K-Man. If ever you had a moment of seriousness in your life, besides when you're trying
fine,
to use the restroom...
Fine. Arachnophobia.
John Goodman? You know what?
Jeff
I'll tell
Daniels.
You what.
Plus, I hate spiders.
I wasn't really getting angry with you. K-Man just got angry with me because I told him to be serious about scary movies. Oh, I wasn't angry.
I was just more angry because you said be serious.
Oh, well, anytime I ask you to be like an adult, it does lead to a fight. So
I want my bottle.
Okay, Arachnophobia was good. The only thing I didn't like about it was they gave the big spider a name and acted like somehow some way.
Was it like Jimmy or something?
It was Big Bob or something like that. But that spider isn't any worse. One of the most deadly spiders in the world is a small yet quick and tactful spider, the Black Widow. So, I mean...
Did you just call the Black Widow a tactful spider?
Yes, they kind of are. They sneak up on you, and they come to America and the fruit that is in our produce.
Are we just...
Here's
just
the
gave most of the plot of Arachnophobia away.
Yeah, and the grocers all across America are saying, well, as of Friday, why do we listen to Conversation Digest? Because now we can't handle the fresh produce. Well, that's what K-Pack's called, produce.
I hate them.
So I don't know if I was to say one of my scariest films, and now Michael Bowman's bored and yawning, this is a Halloween extravaganza. One of my scariest films, one of my favorite scariest films would probably have to be Jaws, would be one of them. I guess I can't narrow it down to one. I just can't do it. From a, you know, Blair Witch Project was pretty innovative. I couldn't stand the people
that
were in the
Blair
movie.
Blair Witch Project 2 scarier than the
I never
first
saw
one?
The I never saw the second one. You know what? We'll have to revisit this. Remind me to come up with my best, my favorite, scariest film of all time for next week's program. Because this week I don't have it.
I'm going to forget.
Now, if you have any ideas as to what the scariest movie of all time is, by all means, if you'd like to...
It's probably Psycho.
Email us, conversationdigest@gmail.com. Is that correct, K-Man?
ConversationDigest@gmail.com.
You know, it's taken me 3 years to finally learn that website address. So if by any chance whatsoever you could email us, that might be a decent thing that you email us. Remember, this is a pre-recorded program. It's Wednesday evening right now. It's Sweet Little Willow Pop's birthday. We're celebrating it in style. She's having a blast with a tug-a-toy with Bowman. We're talking Halloween tonight, and the show is just about ready to wrap up. We're going to a best-of hour-long installment next hour. Am I right, K-Man?
Yes, sir.
And if we're not on the air right now, then you have no idea what I just said anyway. So,
well, then we don't exist.
Well, I wish Jeff Goldblum could say the same thing, so then maybe he wouldn't. I also don't like Howie Mandel. I don't know where this came from. I just can't stand Howie Mandel.
Who are your top five hated actors in horror movies?
Okay, now... You know what?
I think it's easier for you to say things you hate than what you like.
Okay, well, I'm sure Paul Reiser's been in scary movies. So I'm going with Paul Reiser.
He was in, I think, Alien? or Alien.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Paul Reiser is at least in the top five. Let's come up with some other ones here. I love this notion of who we can't stand. Enough of this. What do we like?
Jeff Goldblum, number two.
Okay, Jeff Goldblum's definitely in there.
It's not. I don't think this is ranking. This is more of just.
Okay, is Howie Mandel in a scary movie?
Little Monsters.
I can't stand. Okay, how about Gina Davis? I can't stand. Do you think Gina Davis is attractive?
I'm trying to see.
I can't handle Gina Davis.
Beetlejuice, does that count as a scary movie?
Yeah, but who's in there that you don't like?
No. I'm saying a scary movie where she's in. You only can say the people.
Gina Davis, that's right. She is in there. Okay, Alec Baldwin.
Oh, he's in there as well.
Yes, I can't stand Alec Baldwin.
Only one person per movie, though.
Okay, gosh dang it. I know Winona Ryder, I'm too attracted to her. So I can't say her. And I don't mind her anyway. I mean, I know she steals and all that, but what are you going to do? Well, no, I mean, stealing is awful, but that's not a reason to hate her. It's a reason to put her in jail. But she's still very attractive. Plus, she gets more attractive with age, which is odd in today's, morbid obesity society.
Okay,
so
we had
Paul Reiser. Gina Davis.
Jeff Goldblum.
Who else?
No, this is your list.
Oh.
I can't think of any. I'm not as fast as
I don't like Jeff Goldblum. Who are the other ones I can't stand? You know actors I can't stand. Can't stand Gina Davis. Man, she's awful. I don't know why people think she's so great. I can't stand her at all. Who else do I like that are... I mean, who do I not like in scary movies?
How about you just say someone you don't like that's an actor, and I could probably think of if they're not.
Oh, my gosh. There's one I can't stand, but I don't remember who it is.
Do you remember the premise of the movie either?
No, because I... I don't know. I'm not really a fan of LL Cool J.
I'll see if he's in any scary movies.
Really don't care for him.
Hopefully he's in like the Leprechaun in the Hood movie.
Ice Cube's... No, Ice Cube's good. I don't mind Ice Cube. Oh, man. How do we get in this topic? All right.
LL Cool J was in Charlie's Angels.
Okay, that's scary enough. I think that's going to have to wrap it up for the Halloween special.
You got one more.
Which one? Oh, did I have to come up with an actor that I can't stand that's been in scary movies?
Yes.
Malcolm Jamal Warner. The guy...
He was in the Cosby Show.
Yes, Theo. He had to have been in a scary film, and I cannot stand him. Malcolm Jamal Warner, I insist that you don't act any longer.
Let me see if he's... I can find the scariest movie that he's been in. Wow, that's a lot of movies.
Keanu Reeves is pretty awful, but he's been in a lot of great films. Maybe I don't mind Keanu Reeves any longer, Bowman. Keanu Bowman. Okay, I think we're going to have to wrap it up there.
He was in Touched by an Angel.
Okay, scary enough. So that's a TV show with What's-Her-Face. So, all right, well, thanks again for joining us on this Halloween extravaganza. Join us again next week for a show that's not centered around a holiday.
Is it going to be live or is it going
to I don't know. It depends on what happens. Don't forget to go to...
Right on Bowman.
I did. FamousAshtray.com for archived radio episodes of Conversation Digest, as well as many other things. The K-Man's Lullaby Explosion comes up in approximately 1 hour
after the all-new
episode of the K-Man's Friday Night Lullaby Explosion. Thanks again to Michael Bowman for being on the air.
Special guest.
Thanks to, special guest, and thanks to those who are no longer on the air with us. So I'll talk to you later. K-Man will talk to you later unless he goes mute. This has been a presentation of Conversation Digest on WNRB LP Wausau, 93.3 FM.
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny safe, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Tandy. I want candy, gonna get your ass beat nasty. Do it to your dad, he's embarrassed your whole family. Just cause you came between a kid and his candy. I need candy, any kind of blue. Don't care if it's nutritious or FDA approved. It's gonna make me spaz like Bobcats on booze. Mess up the mix up the mess. Come on down, yo, here's the address. It's 612 Wharf Avenue. 612 Wharf Avenue.
612 Wharf Avenue. I know where that is. That's the abandoned warehouse next to Melon Shakers, the gentleman's club.
Well, maybe we should go down there, Carl.
We may as well. I'm too jacked up on candy to go to sleep. Now grab me some clean bunnies for the robes.
Marshmallow or chocolate?
Are you kidding? Both! I got a loogie that can fill a lake.
Just cause you came between a kid and his candy. I need candy. Any kind of do. Don't care if it's
You've just got done listening to Conversation Digest. This is the end. You can go do stuff now. Or go to the website, FamousAshtray.com, in a little bit of time to listen to again and 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 again. And maybe one more time.